This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Alrighty, welcome in. Thanks for enjoying Rangers baseball. We'll have game two of today's doubleheader coming up at 6:30 right here on your home of the Rangers. Jared Sandler will be back with you. But here we go. Let's jump into it because, gentlemen, we have 2 hours of GBAG Nation here for you. There is a fresh batch of news to talk about, and we are going to do exactly that. General at your service. Here's Brian Broaddus. You got Eric Chiafalo. Zach Wolchuk is on assignment. I do believe Lucius Alexander will be over there in the Pimp Cup before too long, but for the time being, Alec Medford is finishing up those sound engineering responsibilities. I believe Carter Freeman's going to be back there as well, coordinating your video, and you can watch us on Twitch, YouTube, and 1053thefan.com. No big surprises from Jerry Jones this morning, right? He said he cannot see a scenario where the Cowboys would stick with Cooper Rush over a healthy Dak Prescott. No, as I see it right today. It would take a significant development, you know, and that's just, it's not going to happen. It is totally unrealistic. It's very different from the Dak Prescott, Tony Romo story. So no shocker there. He is not embracing the quarterback controversy as, you know, maybe some of you out there had hoped he would. Yeah, he's not embracing it.
Wait.
3 weeks ago he said he would.
No, I thought he was.
Right? Yeah, Dak.
I thought he was interested in having a controversy here.
3 weeks ago, Dak could play.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to be ahead of schedule, and, you know, he was embracing a controversy, but now it's the exact opposite of those two things.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you get 15 first downs in a game, you're less than 5 yards of play in a game, you don't reach really anywhere close to the 350 yards minimum that you'd like to in a game, and you start thinking to yourself, all right, maybe this whole Cooper Rush thing is not all that it was cracked up to be, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you'd have to be a lot better. You know, we need to have some amazing passer rating performances. We need to have more highlight reels than just doing enough to win the game, I think, to create that controversy, Brian.
Be looking forward to seeing the test this week. I'm still going on record. He's not. I don't think Dak Prescott's playing this week. We could talk about it all we want.
Jerry didn't rule him out.
Well, you know what? Jerry's not. He said Dak was going to play 2 weeks ago, and then he's not playing. So I'm going to go on record right now on our show as we speak. He is not playing this week. So everybody that liked to see, you know, Cooper Rush have an opportunity against the Rams to win a big game on the road, it's going to be a good crowd there with Cowboy fans, I believe. So I think there'll be a lot of support, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it, not just watching what the Rams did last night, but I'm excited.
Yeah, that was nice.
I'm excited about the fact that this team has won 3 straight games, and let's see. Yeah, Cooper Rush has won a big game on the road. He went to Minnesota, very difficult place to play. Got to win. This guy's on a little bit of a heater right now.
Yeah, Rams are a little bit tougher, but who knows? Maybe they aren't going to quite put it together like they did last year.
Yeah, they don't run the ball.
They don't have Von Miller. They don't have Odell Beckham Jr. They can't run the football.
They don't have Andrew Whitworth. That seems to be a huge problem right now.
Huge problem right now. Their offensive line is a mess.
They got sacked 7 times last night.
Yep.
So maybe the Cowboys do go beat the Rams. That would be interesting. I hope Dak comes back for the Eagles game because he owns them. You know, I think you want Dak in that familiarity against Philadelphia, these divisional games. I think, you know, his experience is you know, the skills that he brings to the game. He knows how to beat the Eagles. It's the game I want him back for.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about the Rams that are troubling. That's a defending Super Bowl champ, and, you know, man, I'm just going to be honest with you about it. You look at the numbers last night, they didn't have a sack. You know, and I think the 49ers offensive line is good. Don't get me wrong about that.
But they're playing without Trent Williams.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know, they're a team that blitzes and they haven't got pressure. You know? That's something you need to keep an eye on right there.
Yeah.
If you told me Aaron Donald 4 tackles, no sacks, bring it on. Yeah. Bring it on.
Okay, 469, I'm excited to see Dak come back and be mediocre like he's been for a long time. You
sure
talk about
are.
Rush's stats.
Excited about that.
Go look at Dak's stats since the Broncos game. Well, you can look at Dak's stats since the Broncos game, and there's a lot of really outstanding games. Yeah. You know, now there are some, especially against good teams, where you're like, oh man, that wasn't great. But against the kind of teams that Cooper Rush just played, Dak blew their doors off. You know, so I think you got to be careful that you compare apples to apples. And, you know, there's a big gap between, you know, how Dak played and how Cooper Rush played last year. And Cooper Rush can play better, but he still got all that distance to go to even try to approach how good was Dak was against teams like the Giants in Washington and Philadelphia and Atlanta last year, Carolina. I mean, there's so many games out there that you can find a ton of plays better than what Cooper Rush has done. So you can't be so desirous of this. I mean, I know you were
desirous.
You had Romo.
Desirous?
Yes.
Yeah, he pulling up the words on the boys.
Wait, hang on. Will you spell that for me?
That's called verbally smacking somebody around a little bit.
Yeah. Desirous, I like
D-E-S-I-R-O-U-S.
And he spelled it.
Yeah.
My man's got some brain power.
Flexing on us right now.
You can't be so dug in because you are a Romo believer and you're mad at Dak that you say Cooper could be better, you know, and you just ignore all the good that Dak Prescott has done. Now, let me say this. Dak believers, you can't be so dug in that you ignore how bad it's gotten and that Cooper Rush could a quarterback as bad as Cooper Rush might be able to get you to the playoffs with a similar amount of wins as Dak. Like, what you pay Dak for is to beat the playoff teams, right? Because Cooper Rush could get you to the playoffs against this schedule. So I'm just asking both sides to acknowledge the truth. Cooper Rush hasn't put anything close together what was Dak's top end last year. And Dak has really struggled over the last 8 to 10 games, especially against playoff opponents. And we need Kellen Moore to put him back in a bus driver offense to make him maximum efficient. Okay, you need to acknowledge that about Dak Prescott. If you're going to beat playoff teams, it's got to go back to bus driver Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan, circa 2016 offensive game plan. And I think both sides right now are kind of making fools of themselves. You cannot look at this Dak story and be like, what are you talking about? He's been so amazing. You're all idiots. No, he hasn't. And the people who are skeptical about Dak's ability to lead this football team to multiple playoff wins, their frustration comes from a very honest place, don't they, Dak homers, right? Their concerns aren't just brought up out of nowhere. The inaccuracies, the lack of seeing when players are open, the lack of ability to beat the clog and cover type of tactics that defensive coordinators are using, those things are real. And it took what was an amazing team and put the pause button on them, not only against the 49ers, but against the Buccaneers as well. And that's terrifying. That's terrifying considering how many good players did they have last year? If you could take four of them away and still be on pace to win 12 or 13 games this year, you know how good last year's team was? And what did Dak do with it? He lost in the wild card round to Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay? You know how awesome of a team Dak spoiled last year? And you can say, oh, well, Kellen Moore, this, that, and the other thing. Kellen Moore's a pretty good coordinator. Kellen Moore's biggest mistake was believing Dak was good enough to be a stand-and-throw quarterback, okay? Kellen Moore's biggest mistake is not realizing with Dak, you got to run the hell out of the football.
Yeah.
You got to set that defense up to believe more runs are coming. Oh, here's the big play. That's how Dak makes the big plays. That's how we dominated the league in 2016. And since then, we've had a lot of mediocre games. And last year was a culmination of that. The league figured out how to slow him down in a big way, and the injury started to take their toll as well. So I've been talking with people
Man,
all day on Twitter about this.
I hate when somebody tells me what I need to do.
Yeah, that's well,
you
yeah.
know what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, word?
You need to pay attention, right?
Yeah. Oh, you need.
You,
how about you? What do you need?
I think everybody needs to get real about this story. You know, on both sides. Cooper Rush can't hold Dak's jock. End of story. Yeah. Dak, his play has not been elite franchise quarterback worthy. Not even close. You know, and I don't care what the stats say. Okay, Micah Parsons' health is really good. and as good as you wanted to be, period. Offenses are king on him as much probably as any defensive player that's ever been on the field. That's what Jerry Jones said about Micah. Where are we going with this, Brian?
It's tough, man. It's tough.
Isn't he getting beat up too much down
there?
Hell
yes, he is. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to – I mean, he is doing everything he can to be this great difference maker that he is. And teams have figured out now, like, okay, let's run one at him. Let's run two at him. Let's run three at him. Let's chip him. Let's cut him. Let's do all these things. Now, the good thing about it is defensively you're winning the one-on-one stuff. You're winning the other guys, the Armstrongs, the Fowlers, the Wilsons. These guys are winning. So as long as those guys keep winning, you know, your best player is going to take a boatload of you-know-what because they're not going to let him beat. Now, if those other guys keep rolling, and if they do, now it's going to have to, well, wait, we got to make sure we take care of Tank here. Oh, wait, we can't let Armstrong beat us. Oh, Fowler rushing? You know, that's the great thing about what we've seen, though, from Dan Quinn. He's going to move guys around and try and create as much problems as he can. But your star player, I think the best player on the team, myself. Yeah. You can tell me all you want about quarterback and all this and Zach Martin. The best player on your team, he's taking it right now, and it's coming at him very, very hard.
It's borderline abuse at times.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to cut him. They're trying to chop him. They're trying to, you know, send guys and chip him. You know, we saw that thing. I mean, we saw that clip about the time when he you know, in the Tampa game, you know, with Fournette hit him. Everybody's like, oh, that's a dirty play. That's what my man's having to go through right now.
Yeah.
Because teams are not going to let him
wreck shop. Even though he's a big guy, he doesn't have, like, the Tank body where it's like guys bounce off him where he's so solid. Like, he's still a littler guy, I feel like, and has a body that...
240, but you get wore down. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was sick in the Giants game. He comes off that. You know, he misses a sack. He missed a sack. He could have had a couple more sacks. But this teams are looking at him, and they're saying... That's the guy.
Well, it's amazing it's working out either way. Either he gets two sacks or they're so worried about him that the rest of the defense dominates. Yeah. I think it's definitely a winning strategy to leave him down there, Eric. I just don't know if he's going to get so beat up that maybe it's time to take him out a few more plays. Is he playing too many snaps? What do you think about the story?
Well, I mean, him playing mostly on the edge, you've seen him get off the field more. Because just by the nature of that position being on the D-line, that's why we always talk about the rotation there, and you see it on every team because that position of being on the D-line and having to take on all those blockers and constantly get your pass rush going, it's an exhausting position. So just inevitably, he's going to be on the field less because of it. So I still think they're in a place where they want to be choosy week to week depending on the matchup on how they want to play it. Now, clearly they've gained some confidence in Barr and Van Der Esch in a way that has them feeling good about them off the ball. Broadus, you're looking at it, telling me maybe not so much.
Well, the thing with Barr, it's not always there. That's the thing.
Agreed.
That's the thing that bothers me. Van Der Esch, I think Van Der Esch is having to cover for some of the things that they're having to do. But with Barr, I mean, great versus the Giants, not so much against, you know, this game last week. I mean, it just, he's getting blocked, he's getting hooked. There's things that, you know, at the point of attack, you know, he's hesitant on going after the football. So, yeah, I mean, the hope was that you get Van Der Esch, you know, Curse, Wilson, whoever, they can make up for having to use Parsons as a rusher. You have to have others step up and play in those roles. It takes three damn guys to play his one role. You know, so that's the problem. If you can figure out something different with Barr, and they might. The thing was, you might just take damn Barr off the field and you get Curse back. You put Curse as that down guy, and then you put Wilson as the safety opposite of what you got with Hooker.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation. I just got word we have no commercials until 5:15, so you're going to get a double expressway going on here.
Nice. Okay.
The Rangers game wrapped up pretty quick and had a schedule, and they usually plan the commercials on a certain time period. Well, the Rangers finished early, so you get more uninterrupted G-Bag Nation here on a Tolo Tuesday, 105.3 The Fan. Okay, Jerry said he still expects Tyron Smith to return this year as well. Going to be very interesting how they try to put that thing together.
Saw him with my own eyes.
Oh, what do you have?
Saw him with my own eyes. He was on the umbilical, what do they call it, the umbilical cords? What do we call that? The
umbilical cords.
Umbilical.
Something like that. He's on the cords. I was coming from the the practice facility today and saw a little bit of a workout going on. Britt Brown, he's got his guys out there. Moving well. No, doesn't look like he's limping or anything like that. But when you get on those cords, you're starting to ramp these things up a little bit more about it. So good right to see him out there working on it a little bit. With might be a little bit of a problem.
What are they doing on the umbilical cords? Is that like around the waist? Around
it's, they got a belt and then they got a little hook.
Okay.
And then then you hold them back.
Gives you like, a little resistance.
Yeah, okay. It's the resistance.
I don't know
cord.
Why I thought like the ropes when you pow, pow.
No, no,
pow,
like, yeah,
pow,
that looks like that looks like it just kills your shoulders with that
thing. It really does.
If you're doing
great.
That thing, you're, okay.
That's a heart rate dominator right there.
Yeah, that's a heart
like a CrossFit
attack.
Thing, right?
That's me at Parkland. Clear.
Yeah, that'll get you huffing and puffing.
Yeah, the J.J. Watt technique right there.
But Peters didn't look good against Washington, right? So,
no.
What do you think the...
Nobody did inside.
Okay, so is that just because of Payne and Allen? Or
I think they had a lot to do with it. Okay. I think he tried to run the ball inside against two guys that are saying, nah, you're not going to block us today.
Yeah, those guys were amazing. But what is your best five, you think, when everybody gets healthy at the end of the year? Assuming
Come on, man.
Smith
you're
can't get healthy.
That, you're asking me that question because...
I want to know what it's like.
My best five is not their best five. They don't care. I mean, last time I told you, it's the last time they cared about what I said was 2005.
Yeah.
I to me...
Which is what makes it interesting because you can put it together any way you want and it's somewhat realistic.
Yeah. To me... They're not. I just don't think they're going to move Tyler Smith. That
and I don't think they want to move Steele either.
And that's what
well, Steele's playing really, really well.
What are you looking at me and saying that for? I've apologized to the man.
No, I'm not. I'm not calling you out.
You
I'm
did.
Just,
you looked
I'm
right
just,
at me.
I did. I think that was just
you
reactionary.
No, I feel the eyes right now. But to me, no. That I think that to me, where they're going to leave Tyler Smith at left tackle,
even when Tyron comes back.
Man, I honestly don't know how they're going to play that because they're thinking like, okay, we got our guy, we got our left tackle. You know, you move Tyler Smith back to left guard. Okay. You know, after playing all these games at left tackle, but you got to get, they want to get Tyron Smith back on the field.
We got to get one of those guys at left guard. And if Terrence Steele does not play well the whole season, then I'd be interested in that as well because the ability
at
to
right
run
tackle.
The ball. Yeah. At right tackle.
Yeah.
And Tyron's played right tackle in college and in the NFL.
Yeah. His first year. Yeah. Sure
so
did.
I do think it's possible one way or the other. And if you get a matchup against somebody that Terrence Steele's not going to be able to move, you got to go for it. Fortune favors the bold. Okay, who cares? Move on from Tyron, says the 6'8"2. He will get hurt the game he returns. My money is on cramps. Well, he stays healthy sometimes for a while. And
it's usually after he's been hurt that he comes back that things kind of work out for him in a way where he keeps playing.
But, I mean, this
but
is,
he got COVID in that game before the San Francisco, and it looked like it just wrecked him.
I am kind of like that. I'm like I approach the Tyron situation like that listener. Like it's in December when maybe we can get him back. I'm not even really worried about it because all it's going to do, it's going to play with my heartstrings. Oh, yeah, we got Tyron back. And then, yes, he's going to get injured again. So I'm focusing on the guys that are actually available right now. Tyron Smith is a figment of the imagination at this point.
Out of sight, out of mind?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, 6'8"2. Dawson, where's the running game this year? Pollard has had one 100-yard game. Yeah, you know, Pollard's had two bad games where he's had less yards than carries. So, but in three out of the four games, they were averaging over 4.5 per attempt. I hope it was just that Washington's a unique challenge.
I tell you what, that's what I think. When you try to run the ball inside, and let's be honest too, Montez Sweat played pretty well for them at defensive end, and that linebacker Holcomb can get to the football. And so can Davis get to the ball as well. Their front seven's not bad. That's a quarterback. That's a quarterback away from team right there. That if they had a quarterback, that would be a lot different team in my eyes.
Yeah, I think
the offensive line and the quarterback. I think that's the two things right there. That if that team was different in those ways, it'd be a lot better team.
Yeah, I do feel like that Washington front is a bit of an anomaly that, for the most part, the run-of-the-mill NFL defense right now, I feel confident about the Cowboys' run game. But if you get one of these dominant type of fronts like Washington, you will struggle. Now, to the Pollard thing, when you look at the expected yards per carry and the actual yards per carry, Tony Pollard is pretty damn good. Like, he's expected to average 3.2 yards per carry, and he's averaging 4.5.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that's there was pretty a time dang going good. Into this game, he was averaging 7 yards a carry on first down. Am I right about that?
Yeah. I don't have that specifically, but I'm right about that. Yeah. Hell yeah, you are.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What's going on?
I wouldn't say it. The answer is yes. I wouldn't say it.
It was a rhetorical question. That's on me. I should have just said, hell yes, Broadus, you nailed it, and we move on seamlessly. I blame myself for that. On the flip side,
you're throwing out numbers, though.
How about this? Expected Ezekiel Elliott, like about 4.3 yards per carry, and he's averaging about a little over 3.5. So when you see the difference there, like Tony Pollard is clearly the better running back.
Yeah, I think it is kind of boom or bust with him, you know, and last week's game was an example. You got to get the right plays for him, and you got to get him in space. Otherwise, I don't know. I think Zeke might be the better player against fronts like that, you know, and maybe, what is it, Tampa, San Francisco, Washington?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to figure out a way to get it tossed out onto the perimeter and get Tony Pollard in some space, because those Commanders and the Buccaneers especially really put a hurting on him. Bro, what's up with Brian today? Buddy is lit. I like it. Yeah. Says the 214.
There's something about Broadus with a whole day to get his mind, body, and soul right for just 2 hours of straight fire.
Okay. You weren't even on my mind.
Maybe it was being so excited about watching the Rams struggle and having the thought of maybe going to 4-1.
He needs to get here before the late hours here on the show got him probably day drinking. I'm just assuming.
Who, me?
I could be wrong. I hate to put that on you.
Wow.
But you're just acting wild and erratic right now, and I'm kind of scared.
No, I'm good, man. I'm just having a good time doing radio.
I don't know, man. That's what you say, but I'm watching your actions, buddy. You just chipped off on Chia Follow twice, son. In a row, less than 5 minutes. And you might chip off on me now.
I'm waiting. I got the guard up.
The man was throwing out numbers. I thought he had it on the top of his head.
I'm going to lean on the studio door so you won't come up in this
joint. No, he was like, Chia Follow likes to throw out these numbers. I thought he knew. He was 7 yards of carry. We were doing pre- and post-game show together.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we are. That's we're teammates right. and brothers forever.
I was looking for some acknowledgement over there. All I got was this blank stare.
Hey, I 100% own that. I own that, Broadus. I answered that rhetorical question in a poor way. You got your back always, baby. Just don't hurt me.
Yeah. You got him moonwalking in the corner.
Yeah, bro.
Would you like anything to drink?
I'm going to do the show from over here a little bit.
469, brought us got some afternoon delight before the show. 571, brought us just came from the men's tea clinic.
Yeah.
Both good theories.
Good theories.
I like that truckwreck.com fan
good,
text.
Good theories. I like them.
Okay. Broadus just supports the people that supports this show. So he swings through men's tea, pops over to Baby Dolls for a little afternoon hangout, and then he comes over here and does a little work.
I don't know. You want to confirm or deny any of that?
I'll take that.
The wild women. The wild women. The ripping and the tearing. The ripping and the tearing.
That's Broadus.
Wow.
I am a diva. I'm a diva.
Okay, Jerry, on watching Rams Niners last night, I hope we get a chance to put this team up against them when it really counts in the playoffs. Those are two teams you should watch because somehow we got to get by them to get where we want to go. Yeah, I figured the Niners weren't going to go away. I think the Rams are going to be back. I have them in my NFC playoff picture. I think I have, by the way, all seven NFC playoff teams. I just don't know what order to put them in. Okay, let me get the Buccaneers. Let me get the Packers and the Vikings. The Cowboys and the Eagles, and the Niners and the Rams. Those are your seven. Does anybody want to disagree with that or perhaps attempt to put them in any order? I have no idea. Do you default back to Tom? Do you put the Bucks number one? Or do you say that the marriage trouble is going to have him off the rocker all season? I don't know.
I'll tell you what. This anytime you put Tom like in a bad spot, the focus becomes even sharper.
Yeah.
So, you know, when anything that he has to deal with, the deflate gates and all those things that he had, he just becomes back even sharper. So,
Kobe during the case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man went crazy,
yeah,
bro.
Man, absolutely.
He went wild.
Absolutely. You going to throw the Seahawks in there, any thought?
Yeah, are we trusting the Seahawks?
Trust the Seahawks, that quarterback?
Dude, the NFC is nuts right now. I mean,
I'm not trusting the Seahawks.
You're not trusting the Hawks.
I think time will tell. I'm prepared to apologize.
Quarterback's the leading passer in the league, right? Ain't he right now?
Yeah, leading completion percentage there with Geno Smith.
He's rocking around. The advanced numbers are appreciating Geno right now as well. It's a weird deal.
It was a deteriorating roster with Russell Wilson, though. That would be
maybe
something if Geno Smith.
Maybe they needed to get rid of Russ.
They did have a good draft finally. And what have
yeah, finally.
Yeah. The entire division's 2-2 though. Look at that that NFC West.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that NFC West, yeah. It is there's parity all over the place there. Even in the NFC South right now, you mentioned the Buccaneers, and I think most people will still be riding the Bucs here. But I mean it's a battle for the top spot in that division when the Falcons go to Tampa on Sunday, which is kind of funny. Like, the Falcons are out here winning some football games. The Falcons had a single drive on Sunday versus the Browns where they turned around and handed the ball off 10 straight times for a touchdown.
For Cordell Patterson?
I think Cordell Patterson had quite a bit to do with it, but it was just like he's 6 yards, 7 yards, 4 yards, 14 yards, 6 yards, 6 yards, 12 yards, 16 yards, and it was 10 straight run plays, touchdown.
I love
Falcons
it, man.
Are doing a little something.
Dawson
right now.
Calling plays there.
Cordarrelle Patterson's the man. Is that Marcus Mariota?
Yeah,
quarterback for
Mariota.
Him? Look at him having a little bit of success. Okay, they did ask Jerry this morning about the World Cup question. You know, we had the report last week, but it was unsubstantiated. What it seems to me is that a reporter was talking about off the record stuff, or he heard about something that he shouldn't have been talking about, and people tried to blow it up. But that reporter hasn't come out and stood on that. You know, so probably his bosses are telling him to be quiet. That's my theory anyway. Who knows? In the world of soccer, there's so many crazy
that
rumors.
He's gone missing.
But the way that Jerry answered it, you know.
He, was that a kidnapping?
Yeah, he could have gone missing.
Never,
yeah.
You never know.
They don't play.
You don't play over there. No, you don't play.
I mean, what's gone on to put these World Cup stadiums up in Qatar? You know, you see some of those 60-minute stories, and you almost feel ashamed to be watching the event. They're talking about, like, actual real-life slaves from India. Yeah. Being like imported and trapped basically there, you know, in these massive apartment sky rises where they got to wake up every morning and go to the stadium site and build for like 16 hours and then come home and sleep. It's crazy. They're like, their visas get pulled, right? Yeah. Or their travel documents got pulled. But anyway,
God, wait, this is
side story.
Is this Qatar?
Yes, this is today's World Cup. This isn't like two centuries ago.
This is shaping up to be the most disastrous World Cup ever. You can't even in Doha, like they're not even going to be able to sports bar consume the World Cup. Yeah. Like, they've made it to where you will not be able to, if you're anywhere around there, you're not going to be able to just show up and hang out and take in the festivities. We can't booze. There's like no fun that can really be had here. And then on top of it, even the locals, it's like you can't go to a sports bar and watch these games.
We haven't even had a single World Cup hooker story yet, you know?
Yeah.
They probably kicked them all out of the country.
They're actively playing defense against hookers in the World Cup this year.
That's usually a big story, you know, with all the travel that needs to go on with those ladies and how many extra ladies of the night they're going to have in an individual region or whatever to take care of the clientele, but not this go around.
No, this is like playing the Super Bowl in Green Bay. You know, when you look at it and it's like, how much fun can you really have?
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing.
If you like beer and cheese, man.
Well, that's the thing where they're going to play these matches. And they really don't have time for your wanting to have fun. They have no time for that. They're all about play the matches. You know, hand the trophy off and then move on.
Jerry couldn't confirm it. He said, we feel great that we're where it ought to be. We really want to show that and be that. We want to have the greatest World Cup that they've ever seen.
Well, it's going to be easy. It's going to be easy to do it because everybody's still going to be disappointed and looking back like, what have you done for me lately? We're going to be pointing at this World Cup. And it's going to be the most funless World Cup of all time.
Oh, dude.
So it'll be easy to come over top and be like, boom, here we go. Party's back.
We are going to have the best time ever in 4 years here, guys. I cannot wait. Okay, Randy Gregory goes on IR. Look at that. Had a shoulder come up a little bit.
Knee.
So apparently he's got to have a little procedure for that, and best of luck to Randy Gregory. But, man, the Cowboys had a good offseason when it came to that one, turns out.
Question was asked today on Cowboys break of Cooper and then Lyle Collins and Randy. Do you really miss any of those guys?
Do you miss Lyle Collins? Do you miss Amari Cooper? Do you miss Randy Gregory? I mean, you don't really miss Randy Gregory because the pass rush is maybe the best in the sport right now. So I think you don't really, and not that Randy Gregory hasn't played well. He's banged up now, but he was a top 10 pass rush win rate kind of guy before this injury. So he's still a good player, but the way the team's built right now, you're not missing him. Amari Cooper, you haven't, like Noah Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and especially without Dak Prescott, the way the offense is being run, like you haven't really missed them. And then Lael Collins, I think Terrence Steele's played better than Lael Collins. So all that stuff's really worked out for him.
So no miss. What about you, General?
I think the only one you'd possibly be missing is Amari Cooper because he got his legs back. You know, he really looks slow. I don't know if he was able to work out much last year. And some of these routes that are showing up on NFL Twitter with the cut-ups and Baldy's breakdowns, he looks pretty good. But you've gotten enough passing offense. You know, that hasn't been the limiting factor on why you've lost any games. I don't think it's cost you any games yet.
I don't think Jerry's lied to you about taking his money and going out and getting players when you talk about Curse and Fowler and guys like that. You know, Jerry was saying, well, it's 3-for-1. You went out and you signed guys with his money.
Yeah.
And guys that are actually helping you win games.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and it's funny, Amari Cooper's back to the home road splits thing again. He had one catch.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he had one catch in the game the other day.
Okay, the NBA.com GM poll is out. We'll give you detail on that coming up at 6 o'clock. The Milwaukee Bucks picked to win it all by the majority of NBA GMs. And Luka picked to win MVP. Start formulating your thoughts on this topic. If you had to start a team with just one player, is it Luka? Is it the Greek Freak? You might be surprised who the NBA GMs picked. We'll take your thoughts on that and give you the results of a lot of those interesting poll questions coming up at 6 o'clock. Always love a good anonymous GM poll.
Oh, the GM. The
messiest.
Anybody in sports loves to talk off the record. Hey, don't use my name. Don't use my name, but let me tell you what's going on.
You got to know this, bro.
Did you hear about this guy?
Yeah.
Did you hear what's going on there?
Yeah.
Did you hear what's going on in the Suns? No. What? Tell me. Oh, and you can't use my name, though, man. Don't tell anybody I told you this.
It's always the anonymous sources.
Yeah.
Anonymous sources start the most mess.
They will. Yeah.
They're like pigeons. They fly in, poop on everything, and then fly away.
Yeah. Everywhere like bird crap.
Yeah.
Sports are so protective, and they lie to us so much. And then they'll talk about how the fans don't know anything. Yeah, because you're constantly lying. You never give us any real answers. More Rangers baseball coming up at 6:30 tonight. Aaron Judge continues to take hacks at history. He did not get a bombski last night or today, trying to become the all-time home run king in the American League. He's currently tied with Roger Maris. If I'm Aaron Judge and I don't get it after having all these games to get this done, I think I'd be pretty disappointed. It's amazing to tie it, right? And that's a career accomplishment. Like, if you would be told that at the beginning, you could be like, great. But you're like, okay, you had, 11 games to go? What is it, 12 games to go? And you've been crushing one, like, every 2.5 games all year. And then you just needed one more to get to 62, and suddenly the pitches to hit became a little less abundant, and you couldn't get to 62. Either way, it's been a great year, though.
Oh, for sure. He's going to be disappointed, and I don't know if he's going to be as disappointed as the fans in attendance, though. I mean,
Walchuk was booing today?
Absolutely.
You think he was standing up booing when he got the guy?
It sounded like the whole ballpark was. Aaron Judge up to bat, up one, he gets a base hit, and everybody's booing him.
Walchuk standing there doing the motorboat thing, you know?
Yeah.
He's probably doing something crazy.
He promised me he was going to do a drunken truffle shuffle and try to get on the Jumbotron, so hopefully he pulled that off today. Okay.
Well, at least he didn't get booed and get death threats like Hank Aaron. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, times have changed a little bit, thankfully. Flagtober rolls on.
Hello.
Friday at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield and all surrounding areas. If you want a G-bag flag for free, this is a great opportunity. The new flags are glorious, and we'll have both editions out there, and there will be lots of ways to get one, to win one. And you can also buy one right now at 105thethefan.com/flagtober. Okay.
Please do.
Mansfield is amazing. It's a great place. Gavin, why are you saying the American League? Why wouldn't I say the American League? It's the American League record. Why wouldn't I? 903. Because Barry Bonds has the all-time record.
You dummies.
Wow. Are you a sports fan, 903?
Get your bleep together, 903.
Okay. Let's have some fun with sports audio with Chiafalo.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.